Begin the current Daf Masechet Nesachim Daf Lamed Beis. Begin on the bottom of the Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and begins the third parak of Masechet Nesachim, parak Kolap Sulin, which continues on the theme of the previous parak regarding those who are invalid, who generally invalidate the Avodas. So the previous parak had opened up Kol Hazvachim Shekiblu Damin regarding the Kabbalah, the receiving of the blood. Our Mishnah says, however, in contrast, Kala Pasulin Sheshachatu, all those who are generally invalid to do the Avodah, if they slaughter the carbon, Shechitas and Ksher, their slaughtering will be valid, as the Gemara will bring the source for this. As the Mishnah tells us, Sheshchita Ksher Bazar, because the slaughtering is valid to be done even by a non-Kayin, Ubenashim, by women, Ubavadim, by slaves, Ubetmeim, even those who are impure, where either that means to say that he's Tamei from a Sheretz, where that's a lower level of Tumah, where he's not going to transmit Tumah to a Kli, because he's an Ava Tumah, meaning to say by a Sheretz, the Sheretz is Ava Tumah, he becomes a Rishon, and the Rishon cannot transmit Tumah to a Kli, or even if he's a Tumah Mace, that is, he's an Ava Tumah, but then he would not be slaughtering with a regular knife, but rather he'd be slaughtering with a reed that would be sharpened and slaughtered with that, because to use a regular knife, if he's a tummy mace, would be problematic, as Rashi explains, because then he, as an avatumma, would be transmitting tumma to the sakin, to the knife, which would become a rishon, and then that would actually transmit tumma to the meat, to the carbon that's being slaughtered, which that would invalidate it because it would become tummy. And therefore, although we're validating a tummy to do the shechita, has to be either a tummy sheretz, where he's only a Rishon, or even if it's an Avatumah, but he's slaughtered with something that will not transfer the Tumah, because it's not a regular knife, rather like a reed, which can be sharpened and slaughtered with, so that it doesn't transmit Tumah to the meat. And continues the Mishnah, Philip Kachikachim, this halach applies even to the holiest types of karbanas. It could be done by even a tummy person. But says the Mishnah, as long as those who are tummy, who's doing the slaughtering, doesn't touch the actual meat of the carbon itself. For example, like we said before, if he's slaughtering with a large knife and he's at a distance from it, so then that would be okay. Now, continues the Mishnah, therefore, since actually regards to the Shechita, these psulim are valid, so that actually would invalidate a carbon, b'machshava. So if, let's say, when they're slaughtering, they're having machshava that it should be that of a pasul, like we said in previous parak of chutz lazmanay, chutz lemkaymay. So since for this avodah, they're fit to do that avodah, so their machshava is considered a valid machshava that could affect negatively this carbon and invalidate it. In contrast, as the Mishnah continues to tabalam and bezim and aleph, v'kulam, but all these that are pasul, shekiblu es adam, if they're receiving the blood, which as we said in the previous daf, that they're not valid to do the Kabbalah. So if when they're receiving the blood, they're doing it with the intention that it should be eaten or burnt, chutz lazman and v'chutzim kaima, either beyond its time or beyond its place. So then says the Mishnah, im yesh dam ha-nefesh, if there's still more blood from the animal inside the neck of the animal, yachzer ha-kosher v'yikabel. So a kosher kain should go back and receive the rest of the blood from the animal and then spray that blood. Now the reason why that could be done, even though generally when there's a machshava of pigul or psul, all the bloods become pasul, because the thought of these invalid individuals, the Tzar and the woman, they cannot go ahead and do an actual avodah of Kabbalah, since they're not fit for it. And since they're not fit for it, their machshava will not invalidate, because the invalidation of a machshava is only for someone who's fit to do that avodah, as we told in the previous parak, like the pasuk says, "Hamakav oisi la'yichashim," is only someone that's rola krava, that's what the pasuk is talking about. Here that they're not valid to do the Kabbalah, their machshava is not invalidating. Now, it obviously wasn't a valid avodah either, so that blood that they received is not valid. You have to go ahead, you could still go back to the animal and get the rest of the blood. So to continues the Mishnah, Kibla kasher v'nasan l'pasal. Let's say a valid kohen received the blood, but then they gave it to someone who's not valid to do the avodah from the Kabbalah onward. So then yachz l'kasher, so then you give it back to a kosher kohen, because it did not become invalidated by just giving it to the non-kosher individual from the Kabbalah onward, because he didn't do anything. He didn't do any Avodah. Now actually, in the first paragraph of Yidalam Abayis, the Gemara actually explains this of Yachzer, that Yachzer Kasher, you give it back to a Kasher Kayin, actually depends if we hold, and that's what the Gemara discussed over there, according to either opinion, if Halacha Shlei B'Regel Shmo Halacha is transporting not by foot, where you're passing it towards the Mizbeach, but not by foot, but rather by hand. Here we passed it to the non-kosher kohen. Is that actually considered halacha or not? And that would be the relevancy if it's considered halacha or not. That would depend if, what does it mean, yachzer ha-kosher? Do you give it back to the kohen? Because it was done inappropriately, because actually halacha shel b'regel is not considered a valid halacha, so you'd have to give it back. Or do you say it's considered halacha, and the guy who received it didn't do anything, he's just like a platform, so he didn't invalidate it, and then when it says yachzor l'kasher, you could continue to another kasher kohen, continue further on, because actually it was a valid halacha, that goes according to either opinion, but the point is it's, he can't do anything, because he's a pasul, he's a zar, he's a woman, so then it would go, you would continue giving it back to the kasher kohen. Similarly, the Mishnah continues with similar halachas. Let's say the kohen received the blood with his right hand, and then he put it in his left hand, which the avodas are only valid in the right hand. So you put it, give it back to the right hand. Let's say he received it with a consecrated vessel. But then he puts it into an unconsecrated vessel. So you put it back into it doesn't become pasul, just like when you give it to the czar, it doesn't invalidate it because he didn't do one of the avodas. Here, although it was passed to the left hand or to the klichal, you put it right back in. Similarly, nishpach min hakli al ritzpah. Let's say the vessel that had the blood in it spilled on the floor, and then vasafe, then they gather it back and put it back into the vessel. So kosher, it's okay. Nothing was done with it. The only time we say that's possible, it goes straight from the neck onto the floor. But if it was received in the vessel, fell on the floor, you could put it right back in. Now, it concludes the Mishnah, going back to this idea about the psulin that we're talking about, called a psulin, nesanai, if the individual who is not valid to do the avoda, a zar, an eved, a tamei, all these different individuals, if they put it, the blood, now regarding the zrika, before we spoke about the Kabbalah, now we're talking about if they put the blood al gabi akevish on the ramp, or shalei keneged yisai, not in the right place in the mizbech, not opposite the area on the bottom that has a foundation, or nasan esnitan lamata lamalan, he put the bloods that are supposed to be put on the bottom of the half of the mizbech to the top half of the mizbech, or esnitan lamal lamata, those that are supposed to put on the top half, he put on the bottom half. Or v'asnitan b'fnim b'chutz, the blood that's supposed to be put inside the heichal in the mizbech azav, he put on the outer mizbech. Or v'asnitan b'chutz b'fnim, those are supposed to be in the outer one, they put in the inner one. So, as we said, this is not a valid avodah because it's being done by someone that's a pasul. So, im yesh dam ha-nefesh, if it's still blood in the animal left, yachzer kosher v'kabel, so then a kosher kohen could go back to the animal and receive the rest of the blood. Whereas Rashi tells us that, so what's the chiddush in this part of the Mishnah? And it depends. If we hold that a pasul, an invalid individual, still when he does an avoda, in this case where he's putting on the mizbeach, he makes shirayim, he makes remnants, it affects the leftovers. So that's what the Tana would be teaching, that since shaloi bim kaimei, the bloods were not put in its appropriate place, it's lav kim kaimei, it's not like its place. And if he's not going to make remnants, meaning the rest of the blood in the animal is not going to be affected because no zrika was actually done. So although he's a pasul and normally it would affect the rest of the blood, but he didn't do an avoda. And if we hold that actually shalei b'mkayim is kimkayim adami, as we explained this in the previous parag, that even when it's done not exactly on the place that's supposed to be, but it was still on an altar element, and therefore it's going to be considered as if it was put in its place, so therefore actually regarding to a regular person, it would be considered a zrika. So then that's what our Mishnah would be teaching, although it's a zrika, but a pasul does not make shirayim. And although he invalidates this that he threw, but the rest of the blood that's left over in the neck of the animal is still valid, and therefore, a yachzer hakasher v'yikabel, a regular valid kohen, could go ahead and receive it, and then take that blood and do the avodas with it. Now, the Gemara asked in the wording that opened up our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, kol psulin sheshachatu, all these invalid individuals who they slaughter, so it says the word shachatu. So it sounds like, says the Gemara, do you have it in? Only after the fact, then it's okay, their slaughtering will be valid. But like Ketchila Loi, sounds like initially not. Because why say if they slaughtered? Say they could slaughter. On that, asks the Gemara, but that's contradicted from the following Brisa. The Brisa quotes the Pasuk in Vayikra that says, there's a Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey that says, V'shachat, as we'll quote the rest of the Pasuk shortly, that they have to slaughter the animal, the carbon. Says the Brisa, Shchita Bizar Kasher, slaughtering even by non-Kain is valid. Why? Shashchita k'sher bizarim, because slaughtering is valid with non-kohanim, b'banashim, b'avodim, b'tmeim, women, slaves, those are ritually impure. Afil b'kachim kachim, even by the holiest types of korbanos. And that continues the braisa, o'ina ela b'kanva. Maybe no. The slaughtering, like all the other three avodas that are primary to the korban, have to be done with a kohen. And that says the braisa, Amrit, you're going to say, but v'chim ayin basa, but where are you coming from that you should say that shchita, slaughtering, should require kahuna? It doesn't say anything by slaughtering the element of kahuna. So what are you going to say? No, because mechwal shenema, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, in reference to the kahanim, v'ata uvenecha itcha, you and your sons with you, tishmeres kohanaschem, you should safeguard your kahuna, l'chol dvar mizbech, for every element of the mizbech. So yachalav b'shchita, so you would think that includes everything, including slaughtering. Tamalemes, the Pasuk teaches that we quoted the word Veshachad before. Veshachad has ben abakal of Hashem, that you should slaughter the animal in front of Hashem. And the Pasuk continues, Vekrivu v'goymer, and that, it's, as it says in the Pasuk over there, Vekrivu b'nei Aharon ha-Kehanim, that the sons of Aharon, the Kehanim, they're going to do Hekrivu. Now, the word Hekrivu, as we explained in the previous staff, is Mikabala v'eilach. The word Hekrivu, although it means coming near, which would sound like the Ha'ilacha, but that's what Ha'ilacha is alluded to in the Kabbalah, but it's referring to the receiving of the blood, is Mitzvah Kehuna. Now, for the fact that it says the element of b'nei Aharon ha-Kehanim only by the Kabbalah, which is after Shechita, and it doesn't say by the slaughtering, so limud ala shechita shekshir b'chaladim. So that's teaching that actually slaughtering, which is before the Kabbalah, yeah, Kabbalah onward needs to be with Kehanim. But before that, the shechita is kasher every single person. That wording in the Braisa sounds like that's even like Ketchila, which contradicts the halacha of Mishnah, sounds like only by the Eved. So says the Gemara, no, hu adin afil l'ketchila nami. Right, like the Braisa says, that even initially, a non-Kayan Azar is allowed to do the Aveda for the shechita. But since one of the elements of the Psul Mishnah wanted to mention was a kohen that's tamei, that initially, no, he's not allowed to do it. Why? Why is it different than all of Psul that even the Ketchila could do the Shechita? Because Gezerish, I mean, Yigub Abasa, there's a rabbinic decree regarding someone that's tamei that he might touch the meat and he's going to invalidate the meat. So although he's able to do the Shechita, but is a concern that he might touch and therefore the Ketchila not. So that's why Tana Shashachdu, that's why for all the cases, since we had to include Tameim, we said a B'di'evit after the fact terminology, we're there even after the fact that Tameh is going to work. But we couldn't say L'ketchila because of the Tameh. Now once we introduced that halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, and B'tameh D'evit Shabadami, but someone who is Tameh, but after the fact you're saying that his Shechita would be valid? But Verminu, that's contradicted from a different Braisa. The Braisa says, it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, V'samach, that regarding the halacha of doing smicha, that they have to lean their hand on the head of the carbon oila. And then the next pasuk says, v'shachat, which is the pasuk we quoted before, that they slaughter the animal. So the Braisa says that the psukim are making a hekesh by having these two psukim near each other to tell you the following din. Mas smicha b'tahirim, just like leaning on the animal has to be done by someone that's tahar, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, avshchita b'tahirim, so too the slaughtering has to be done by someone that's tahar. So you see that the pasuk requires and mandates a tar person, and that even after the fact, it's not valid for the shechit to be done by a tamei. That contradicts the halacha of the Mishnah. So the Gemara, no, midrabanan, like we said before, that the Braisa is quoting is actually an asmachta. Actually, shechita does not have to be done with tar. It's only rabbinically that has to be done by someone that tar, because like we said before, maybe he's going to touch the meat. But after the fact, it is going to be valid, a shechita done by someone that's tamei. Now the Gemara asks on the Braisa, why is leaning on the animal so different to the Braisa that it was obvious that there the halacha is biblically has to be done by someone that's tahar? Because it's saying, just like smicha has to be done by tahirim, so to shechita, which actually the Gemara is even answering, it doesn't even mean shechita requires tahirim, that's only rabbinically. But the Raisa, they're saying that smicha requires tahirim. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, in the next pasuk, when it says, v'shachar has ben abakul of ne'ashem, that you have to slaughter the animal in front of Hashem. Now we know there's halacha, as we're going to shortly quote, that you have to have tekev l'smicha shechita, that right after the leaning on the animal, you have to slaughter it. Now, so therefore you can't lean on the animal outside of the azara and then slaughter it inside the azara. Rather, you have to, just like when you slaughter the animal, has to be lifnei Hashem in front of the azara, so too the leaning on the animal has to be in the azara. Now, a tamei person is not allowed to enter into the azara. So therefore it's obvious that the smicha has to be done by a tahar person. So then shechita nami, so then the slaughtering also, what do you need to compare the shechita to the smicha? More than that, the Gemara actually ends up coming out and saying that actually shechita does not need to be done by a tar person. But why? By shechita nami, it says in front of Hashem, which means you have to slaughter in the azara. And then a tame person cannot come into the azara, so it should be biblical by shechita too. Says the Gemara, no, efshad avid sakin arucha b'shachar. He can make a long knife and slaughter from the outside of the azara. So the slaughtering will take place in the azara, will be lifnei Hashem. But the slaughterer could be on the outside, and therefore he could be tamei. And therefore, actually, after the fact, it actually is valid with a tamei person. So now that's the Gemara, well, in simicha nami, say the same thing regarding leaning on the animal. Efshad ma'al yodi b'samech. He could also be on the outside and just lean on it, and stick his hands in, and lean on it. Says the Gemara, yeah, but that won't work. The time of the Braisa holds that a partial entry into the Azara is like a full entry into the Azara. And that's coming in. So it's not so by slaughtering, you could stick the knife in and you could be totally outside. Leaning, the hand of the person has to be inside. So even though only part of him is coming inside, it's still considered like he's coming inside, and that would be a problem about a tame person coming in. So from the fact that we know that the smicha, at least his hands have to be in the azara, therefore it's not possible to be done by a tame person, and therefore we see that mas smicha has to be b'tahar. Now shchita, however, we said, could be done from the outside, and therefore it's only rabbinically that it's a problem by tama. Now Rav Chizna Masni Ipchi actually taught the Braisa in the reverse order. The pasuk says v'samach, and the next pasuk says v'shachat, leaning on the animal, slaughtering the animal. Which the limud, the teaching, is the opposite. Mashchit b'taharim. The assumption and that what the Braisa was saying was just like slaughtering has to be b'taharim, has to be with someone that's pure. Afsmicha b'taharim. So too, the leaning on the animal has to be done with someone that's pure. Now, on that, the Gemara's question is, why was it so obvious to the Brice regarding the slaughtering that has to be done with the Hayrim, the Chsilv, Nei Hashem? Because it says, in front of Hashem, and as we said, in front of Hashem and the Azara, a tummy person is not allowed to be there, and if it's being done in the Azara, must be, it's being done with a tar. So, Smicha Nami, Ksiv, Levnei Hashem. So, the leaning also, it says, Levnei Hashem. So, that's also the same obvious. So, why do we need to learn that out from Shechita? Says the Gemara, no, because if not for the Hekesh comparing it to Shechita, you could stick your hand in and lean on it. You could stay outside, which is obviously the way this version is assuming that Bia b'mikdash loishma bia, where you're not coming in. The tummy person doesn't have to come in. And therefore, if not for the comparison to Shechita, I would have thought actually smicha could be done by a tummy person. On that is the Gemara, well, in Shechita nami, slaughtering also. Maybe you can make a long knife and slaughter from the outside. So then they're also why are you assuming that it can't be done by a tummy person? Because lefnei Hashem, no problem. The slaughtering will be done lefnei Hashem, but the slaughter will stay outside with a long knife. So the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Because Hamani, who's the Tana, this Braisa, Shimon HaTimnihi. It's Shimon HaTimnihi, the Tana learned the Braisa. The Braisa quotes the Pasuk in Yikram, V'shachar es ben abokal lefnei Hashem, that he slaughters the young animal in front of Hashem, which the Tana Kama says, what does that mean? V'loi HaSheichel lefnei Hashem. Not that the slaughterer has to be in front of Hashem, meaning if he wants to, he can stand out of the Azar and slaughter with a long knife, because it says the slaughtering of the animal should be in front of Hashem. The animal is going to be slaughtered in front of Hashem, but the slaughterer will be on the outside. Now, but Shimon HaTimni Omer, who we're saying he's the time of the previous Braisa, he says, no, minayin shiyu yadav shel sheichet, where do we know that the hands of the slaughterer, meaning that he himself, has to be lefnim min haneshchat, within the area of the animal that's being slaughtered, meaning he has to be inside, even more inside almost, than the animal itself. And he can't be on the outside. Because Tamalemi, he learns the Pasuk when it says, V'shachet es ben abakar lefnei Hashem. What that teaches you is two elements. Sheichet es ben abakar yehei lefnei Hashem. That not only does the ben abakar, but the v'shachat, the slaughterer, also has to be lefnei Hashem. Like some interpret that it's telling you that the sheichet and the ben abakar has to be lefnei Hashem. So Hashem Natimni holds that the slaughter has to be inside. A long knife is not going to help. And that's why we knew for sure that the shechita has to be lefnei Hashem. And by comparison, we're also telling you smicha, but actually smicha, we would have thought could be with a tummy because biba mixes lo yishma bi, according to this version of this halacha. Now, continuing on this discussion, which we said is a partial entry, considered entry or not, Amar Ula Amar Shlakish. It says the following halacha. Tamei shehechnes yadoi lefnim. A tamei person that puts his hands inside the area of the azar of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which is considered the area of the Machne Shechina, which there's three camps, the Machne Shechina, Machne Leviya, Machne Yisrael, which parallels that in the Midbar, in the desert that they had that, which in the Beis HaMikdash parallels the Azara, which is Machne Shechina, the Har HaBayis, which is Machne Leviya, and Yerushalayim, which is Machne Yisrael, which there are certain elements of Tumah that get sent out of Machne Shechina, and then those in Machne Levi, and those even out of Machne Yisrael, which is out of Yerushalayim. So that says, Ula Nimr Vishlakish, that a tummy person who puts his hands into the Azara, who a tummy person is not allowed to enter into Machne Shechina, into the Azara, so like he gets lashes. How do I know that? He didn't enter, only it would put his hands in. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk by the Yeledis, the woman that gave birth has a certain period of Tumah, depending if it's she had a boy or a girl, 7 or 14 days, and then she purifies herself, then she has the next 33 or 66 days, depending if it's male or female, which are called Yemei Tahara, which is like what would be considered an extended full Yom, because she's pure but not totally pure. And then when she finishes that 40 days, 80 days, then she brings, the next day she brings her carbon, and then she not anymore Mechusei Kippurim, and then she's totally taught, then she could even partake of a Kachim and come into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it says by the Yeledes, B'chol Kodesh Le'siga. Now, all that time period that she's in those extended period of days, although she's permitted to her husband and she's practically pure for all halachic purposes, but not for elements of Kodesh, she cannot touch anything of Kachim, V'gomer, etc., where the pasuk says, V'la mikdash leitava, and neither is she allowed to enter into the temple mount, into the temple area, into the base of mikdash. Now, says Ulam, what you see from this pasuk is makish bi'il negi. It's comparing entering into the Beis HaMikdash to touching something of kachin. Now, ma negi b'mikdash is just like touching partial, because touching is always partial. Yet shma negi, it's considered touching. Af bi'a b'mikdash shma bi'a. So to entering partially is also considered having entered. So therefore, it says Ula, when you stick your hands into the azara, that's a partial entry. Well, bi'a b'mikdash, shma bi'a. As you see from the halacha of comparison to touching, which touching is also only partially touching something, yet it's considered touching. So entering is a partial entry, is also considered entry, and therefore a tummy would get lashes because he came into the azara when he's not allowed to as a tummy person. Now, on this halacha, isvei Rav Hoshe le'ula, on this halacha that he's saying that bi'a b'mikdash, shma bi'a, so Rav Hoshe asked on Ula from the following brisa. The brisa says as follows. Mitzayra, regarding a mitzayra, that's a person who has tzaras, and he has to be sent out of actually all three camps as a regular mitzayra. Now, then after 7 days of purification, when he finishes and he's considered pure, so then he immerses, and on the eighth day is when he's still considered mechusik kippurim, although he had tefillah and he had immersion and he had the harav shemesh sundown, which for certain things is actually the completion of the purification. Mitzayra is one of those elements that, similar to a Yeledis, that it's considered mechusik kippurim, and not totally pure, because they still have to bring a carbon, which is on the eighth day. So says the Braisa, a mitzayra shachal shmini shalai, that his eighth day of purification, fell out to be liyis be'erev ha-Pesach, was on the 14th of Nisan on Erev Pesach. Now, what would normally happen in that situation would be, that he would come that day to the Har HaBayis, to the Temple Mount, where he's allowed to be, and to the door space of the Shahar Nikonor, which was the Nikonor gate, which was the entryway into the Azara, which was that gateway, although other gateways were sanctified, like the Kiddush of the Azara, Shahar Nikonor was never sanctified. And that was for the purpose of Tamei individuals like the Mitzari to be able to get to that area, to be able to enter his hands into the Azara so that he could be sprayed on his ear and his thumb and his big toe, which is part of the purification process of the Mitzari. So that's what he would normally do. The problem is, there's an added element in this story. V'rol keri b'ybayim. And he had a seminal emission that day. Now the problem is, a bal keri, someone who has a seminal emission, is not allowed to enter not only into the Azara, what we call Machne Shechina, but even to the Har HaBayis, to the Temple Mount, which we call Machne Levi. As the Gemara says, M'sachem nefsam chzavim namad beiz, the Pasuk says, V'chol zav. Well, zav, we know what that is. It's a certain type of emission that comes out of a person's body. But then it says, and v'chol zav, and every zav. What does that come to include? Even the balkeri, which is a different type of emission, that of just a seminal emission, that of zera. Where the halacha is that they have to be sent out of two camps, which is, includes the Har HaBayis, as the Gemara explains over there. So what happens is, so he had the seminal emission, the tavel, and he immersed himself, which you can immerse at any point in time during the day. But then he's what's called a tful yayim. He's not fully tar yet until sundown. So that says, the Brice as follows. Amar Chacham, the sages said, Afa pi she'in tful yoyim achar, even though no other tful yoyim, a person who became Tamei from Keri, who immersed himself that day, cannot normally be nichnas to enter into the Har HaBayis, because as we said before, the Tana holds that not only does a Zav have the halacha being sent out, which includes a Balkeri, but also a tful yoyim of Zav is like a Zav. And so to a tful yoyim of Keri is also like a Balkeri, which as we said before is included by B'chol Zav to be sent out of Har HaBayis. So normally a tful yoyim cannot enter into the Har HaBayis. But however, the Chasidus said in this situation, Zen Nichnas. This individual could enter into the Har HaBayis and even stick his hands into the Azara so that the blood of the Karban Asham and from the leg of oil could be put on his thumbs, and on his toes and his ears, so that he could be purified to eat the Karban Pesach that evening. Why? Because what he could do then is he can have his Karban sent in, not by him, but it could be sent into the Azara that day, that it could be slaughtered and the blood could be thrown for him, so that by the time evening comes around, he'll be tar, and then he'll be able to partake of eating from the Karban Pesach. But he himself cannot enter into the Azara because a Tful Yoyim that enters into the Azara, we're talking about Tfil Yom allowing him to go into the Har HaBayis. If he went into the Azara, it would actually be a penalty of Koris, as the Gemara says, Menachas of Chavzayin HaBayis. So, but one thing is that he could enter into this Tfil Yom, although generally not of a Balkari, this Tfil Yom could enter into the Har HaBayis. Why? Mutav Yavayaseh, better come along a positive commandment of the Korban Pesach, Shiesh B'Koris, which is a penalty of Koris if one does not fulfill the Korban Pesach. And that will override the positive commandment about sending a tummy person out of Har HaBayis, shame by Karis, where that's not a positive commandment that has a punishment of Karis. Because the punishment of Karis of a tummy person is only from inside the Azara and inward. But beyond that, although there's a negative prohibition or a positive commandment, it's not punished by Karis. So therefore, if we have to choose between the mitzvah of Karban Pesach or the halach of having this tummy person being sent out from Har HaBayis, we'll choose letting him have the Korban Pesach being done, which is only possible if we let him come in so that he could do this Matan Bahainis by sticking his fingers in as the Mitzvah in his eighth day, that he'll be pure that night, because if not, he won't be pure that night because he's still Mechutz Kippurim. So let us override the Asay that does not have Karas to be able to fill the Asay that does have, that's a stronger Mitzvah Asay, that has the penalty of Karas. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he says even more actually. He says, Dvar Torah, according to biblical law, Afila Asayim Boy. Of course we're going to let him come into the Har HaBayis. Because not only do we say Asay Sheyesh Bekaris is Deich Asay Sheyem Bekaris, it doesn't even have a positive commandment on the Har HaBayis for a Tful Yom. Because Rabbi Yechonin holds that a Tful Yom of a Zav is not like a Zav. So although a Zav and includes a Balkari has to be sent out of Har HaBayis, biblically, actually, if he's a Tful Yom, if he immersed through it already, although he's not totally pure, he's actually not considered in the biblical halach of being sent out of Har HaBayis. Shneim like, says a pasuk in Divrei Yom and Beis. Says Vayamid Yerushafet Bekal Yehuda Yerushalayim, that Yerushafet stood up amongst the assembly of Judea and those of Yerushalayim, Beveis Hashem in the house of Hashem, Lefnei HaChatzar HaChadash, in front of the new courtyard, which refers to the Har HaBayis, which is the area of the Azara, which they had renewed certain halachas to it. That's why it's the new Chatzar. My Chatzar HaChadash, what does it mean, the new courtyard? Rabbi Yechonan, he says, Shechidshu Badvarm Harbi, because outside of the Azar, which was the chatzah that we're talking about, where he stood up and he gave the speech, was something that they had made, they knew certain halachas. Because of Amr, they said, Tvul Yom al yikonis l'machn l'viya. Although generally, biblically, actually a Tvul Yom of a Keri could actually enter in the machn l'viya, could be on the Har HaBayis, but now, chatzah chadash, it's the new courtyard, what it means, there's new halachas that they made, which was, no, that they made now a Tful Yom cannot enter Nach Levi. So, of course, Rabbi Yechonan is adding on, that they would, this person would be able to come in, although generally Tful Yom not, because at least it's Mivet Dirik Kabbalat from the prophets, but for sure, for Tful Yom, for the Aseh Sheish Bekaris, would override this, that's not even the mitzvah Aseh, it's at most a Dirik Kabbalah. So that's the Braisa. But conclusion of Hoshi's question on Ula, now if you say like you Ula, that a partial entry is like a full entry, how does this Tful Yom of Keri, who's a Mitzayra on his eighth day, put his thumbs into the Azara, but you said the whole reason why we let him come in the Har HaBayis is because, that's what the Bryce was saying, was because it's a Seishish Bekaris, it's Deicha Seishim Bekaris. Fine. That takes care of the Har HaBayis. Problem is, you're saying that a Biba Mikzah Shema Biya. Now, not only is he coming to the Har HaBayis, he's actually entering his thumbs and his part of his body into the Azara, into Machne Shechina. Now, a Tful Yom regarding the Azara has a punishment of Karis. Now here, if you're telling me he could enter his hands into the Azara, because it's not possible that he doesn't do that, because the blood of the Ashram cannot go into the space of the gateway, because that would already be considered a psul of Yotzei. The blood of the Korban Ashram cannot go out of the perimeter of the Azara. So he has to stick his fingers in, according to the Halacha. But you hold that it's considered like he entered. The problem is, then why do we say he overrides the Halacha of Asay Sheish Bekaris for Pesach with Asay Sheish Bekaris, but they're both Asay Sheish Bekaris according to you, according to what I would say, that it's Loish Mebiya, so good, all he did was come into the Har HaBayis. That's at most an Asay Sheish Bekaris, but according to you, it's an Asay Sheish Bekaris because he's also entering into the Azar. So Amalei, so Ula said to him, Mitunach, from your load that you're coming to weigh down on me, I'm going to weigh it down on you. What are you asking me from this Bryce of the Mitzayra? Says Ula, no, it's not difficult. To the contrary, Shani mitzayra, the halacha mitzayra is different because there it's a gzeirat hakasiv that hayal behuta litzaratoi, since a mitzayra is also not allowed to enter into the hazara. Yet the Torah obviously clearly permits, because the Torah tells you you have to do that, it permits a mitzayra to have a partial entry into the hazara, because although he's mechusik gipurim and he generally can't come in, but he has to put his fingers into the gitamat and behindness. So since the Torah permits a partial entry for his tzaras, so therefore that's why hutul likiruya, the case of the braisa, was now once we're letting him go in, so we'll let it also the fact that it's a tful yom for his tumah keri, because it's we're permitting him. There's anyways carte blanche. We have to let him. A mitzayra always has that dialectic where it's like, hey, wait a second. He has tumah tzaras. He can't go into the azara. Yeah, but the Torah says he has to have matan behinus, which means he has to go in somewhat into the azara. So the halacha obviously is because we permit it, but biya b'miktzis. So if we're permitting for this individual, anyways, a biya b'miktzis, so therefore we're allowing him with that, the anyway, he's anyways a tummy person coming in b'miktzis, so that's why Tumas Kari will let him be b'miktzis. But you're right, generally, it would not be allowed. A person that has Tumas Kari would have to wait till he purifies himself, because by sticking in his thumbs, he would actually be considered going in, and that's Aseh Shesh Bakar, so it's actually not permitted to be done, even for the Karban Pesach. There it's different, because he's also Mitzayra. Now, actually, based on this, Amar Rav Yosef says what you could understand from Ula's Halacha, that he says this idea of Hayil V'Ishtri Ishtri, what means to say, well, anyways, we permit him, so that we'll permit him for other things too. So Ksava Ula, so then Ula would hold the following Halacha. If Reuben, of the majority of the Jewish people, are Zavim. On the 14th of Nisan, the majority of the Jewish people have Tumas Ziva. Now the halacha is that for the halacha of allowing the Karban Pesach to be brought in the state of Tumah and not being pushed off to Pesach Sheni, which is the halacha generally when an individual is Tummy, that only applies by Tumas Mesa. It doesn't apply to Tumas Ziva. So even if the majority of the Jewish people are Tummy with Ziva, they actually would get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But let's say, says Rav Yosef, if let's say Benasu Tamei Mason, not only were they Tamei Ziva, but on Erev Pesach, the majority of the Jewish people became Tamei from coming in contact with a mess. So says Rav Yosef, according to Ula, you would say the following logic. Hail v'hutru l'tamasan, since they're permitted for the Tama of Tamas Mess, which actually gets overridden for the Pesach, for the Karban Pesach, meaning they would bring the Karban Pesach even the state of Tumah if it was because of Tumas Mes, so Huchel is Zivasan. So that also now would also permit the Tumas Ziva, they actually would bring the Pesach and Pesach Rishon and not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, because you say the concept, Hail V'Ishtri, Ishtri, since anyways we're permitting them Tumah for the Karban Pesach, we'll permit it for the Tumah of Ziva, even though normally Ziva would not be allowed, but it goes in the carte blanche of Hail V'Ishtri. On that, Amalei Abaye asked Rav Yosef, says, no, me dummy, is the case that you're saying compared to what Ula had been saying in his halacha? Tuma ishtarai. Here, in the case that you describe, the tuma of mess, which came last, yeah, that's being permitted. But ziva, the first thing that they had, that's maintained, lo ishtarai, that was never permitted. In other words, it's not comparable to the case of Mitzayr, because there you could say that since the first thing that he had, which is generally a problem, is not a problem, because we let a Mitzayr do Biba Mixes, so the second thing that piggybacks on is also not going to be a problem, because no worse than the first thing. Because even the first thing that it was Tummy was permitted, so a new Tum of Kari will also be permitted. But here, when they were Ziva by themselves, which is forbidden, now the thing that was added on, which was Tumas Mes, that's permitted. You think that's going to permit the first thing that was always there? That's still there. That's not going to be removed by the second thing that's being permitted. The first thing is still going to remain permitted. So rather, Amalei Abaye Sitra Rav Yosef, Dilma Hachi Kamamar. Maybe this is what the master means to say. Ruban Tamein Mesim, let's say it's the reverse order. The majority of the Jewish people are Tamei because of contact with a dead person, and then Benasu Zavim, then they become Zavim on the 14th of Nisan. Then you would say, based on Ula's Halacha, Hayil V'Hutru L'Tumasan, since they're permitted for the initial Tumah that we started off with, which was Tumas Mez, so they're already permitted for Tumah. So Hutru L'Zivasan, so therefore they're going to also be permitted for their Ziva, they're not going to make it prohibited because of their later thing that comes on to them. Because even the first thing that they had a Tumah of Karis was permitted, so therefore they're going to be permitted for the Ziva too. That's more like Ula's Halacha, which the first thing, the foundational thing was permitted, so whatever added on will also be included in that permissibility. On that, he said, yes, that's exactly the case I meant to say that would be compared to Ula's Halacha. But Abai still asks. He says, Vakati le'dami, but still it's not comparable to Ula's Halacha. Why? Although in the order it's the same, but mitzayra het teruhu. The halacha mitzayra is our permissibility. It's the Torah doesn't say, what are you going to do? You're really not supposed to go in, but we'll override it. No, the Torah is telling you it's permitted. The Torah is decreeing, saying you got to go in. It's a heter. It's permitted. It's actually mandated to go in with a partial part of this mitzvah being not totally tar, putting his thumbs into the azar. So there you would say, oh, it's permitted, carte blanche. Hail v'ishter ishti. So it's permitted, it's permitted. So even if new tumas come on, we let this guy come in. We don't care about all these other things. But tuma, the case you're describing of tuma by the carbon pesach, d'chuyehi, that is not a carte blanche. That was with difficulty pushed to the side, where in regards to tuma, it's not a carte blanche, it's not a permissibility. It's that the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wears will carry the sin of the tuma. But it's not a heter gomer, it's just a dichui. And therefore we would say, lahoyitchoi, for this we push it away, which is tumas mes. But lahoyitchoi, but for this tumas ziva, we're not pushing that away. That was never overridden. It's not carte blanche, fine, whatever. The guy has a green card. Let him in. Let him in. We don't care. So even if he has more baggage, we're letting him in. But when you say tumma is not a hutra, it's a hutcha. It's just, we'll push it in. But we're only pushing in this, not other things too. So the fact that we're permitting for tumma's mess, that should not permit the tumma ziba, and they should still be pushed off the Pesach Sheni. So Amalei Rava disagrees with the bias question. He says, no, ad Rava, to the contrary. Ibcha mistabra. The logic goes in the opposite direction. Why? Because he says as follows, he says, Mitzayra had teruhu. Says, for the Mitzayra, for his tzaras, the Torah gave him a permissibility. They gave him a clear sign of coming in. But lahashterai, lahaloyashterai. But that permissibility was only for tzaras. It wasn't for other things like carry. Now, tumah d'chuyehu. In contrast, tumah is we override. Malichad d'chuyeh, malishtei d'chiyas. So who cares? The tzitz is going to be meratz. The Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz. And tumah will be absolved. Now, we're anyways absolving tumah. So, although we're set in the context of tumas mes, but once we're anyways permitting, we're overriding the tumah. So, who cares if it's one tumah, two tumas? It doesn't make a difference. If it's heter, well, heter was only for this thing. But tchuyah, says Rava, doesn't make a difference. And therefore, he disagrees with the question of Abaye, which essentially would be resolving the question on Rav Yosef, although there is discussion in the commentaries if Rava is saying the same thing like Rav Yosef or not. But it definitely answers the question that Abaye has on Rav Yosef. And one thing the Gemara concludes from this, as we continue to have Lama Yimel Manalv, Mechlal de Tavayu, so the inference is that both Abai and Rava, although they're disagreeing in which one should be the one that says that you could have another one come in with it or not, but one thing that you see that both of them hold, Svirulu, they hold Tumah de Chuyehi Betzibur, that Tumah is not Hutra, it's not permitted, it's rather, it's overridden, it's pushed to the side, it's still with difficulty, but we let it be done in a B'dieva type of a way. The ramification of that is because according to the one who says in the first paragraph of Masechta Yomim that Vav Mabez that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, we would say that that's a Yachid B'Makom Rabim, where we have at least two opinions, Abaye and Rava, that say that it's Dechuya. That one opinion would be just a Yachid B'Makom Rabim, and therefore we wouldn't pass him like that. Rather, we'd pass him like Abaye and Rava, that Tumah is a Dechuy and not a Heter Gomer.